Two Truths and a Lie. Hi, welcome to Actual Play, the podcast edition. This is Stars That Number, episode 3, part 1, with Jay, Dominique, Tomes, and myself. We open up this episode as we encounter or we confront Harker and his Mantis Mercs. In between games, Jay and I, actually all of us, drafted precog dueling rules. And so I was eager to see these in play, and I hope you are all excited to see the outcome of them, because that's what we're going to jump into. But first, there's a few other tricks Jay has up his sleeve, a flashback that we get from Dartha to sort of contextualize this whole thing and add even more attention to it. So I hope you enjoy as we explore Stars Without Number. Hello, welcome to Actual Play Stars Without Number. We are here to play some amazing characters in space. We were just talking about how shady some of the characters, aka our boss, aka Dr. Long, is. Maybe we'll find out more of his story this session, who knows. I'm Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. You can find me everywhere as at Sean Nittner. I'll be playing Hope, the precog pilot, who has, for the first time, when sussing out all the many metadimensional possibilities going forward, ran into someone who met her in metadimensional space, the precog pilot Harker, who we just bumped into. So I'm excited about that. Bit of channel news. It's not really news, but bit of channel info. From now until indefinitely, all our proceeds are being split between the Trans Legal Defense Fund and Black Lives Matter. So if you sub to us or cheer for us or do any of those other things that involve you giving us money, that money is going to go there. So it's to a good place. If you want to donate directly, that's great too. And if you want to help but you don't have funds available, I'm going to put some links in chat for ways you can contribute to making this world just a little bit better. How about you, Dominique?
Hi, I'm Dominique. I use they, them pronouns. You can find me online, on Twitter at least, at Dom S. Dickey and at DomDickey.com. I'm playing Atlas, a 600-year-old pre-tech AI. And I have a lot of questions about our shady boss, Dr. Long. But really, I'm built like a tank, but I'm kind of a pacifist, and we're about to go into some combat, so I'm kind of nervous.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, and I'm going to kick it over to Tomes.
Hello, my name is Tomes, or Tomer, he, him. I don't know, you'll find me on Twitter and in gaming circles here and there. I run Story Games Glendale with some friends, but as far as the game is concerned, we have just stumbled into an interesting situation. As far as Dr. Long, I mean, he's my boss. I'm sure he's fine, everything's above board. Nothing to see here. We just work for a secret organization. As far as like our situation, there is another one of my species staring me down a large row of sharp teeth, and we don't have sharp teeth, our people. So like, I am coming into this, I think, similarly nervous and excited.
Yeah. How about you, Jay?
Oh, you're muted, Jay.
Oh, no. We lost you.
Oh, there I am. Sorry about
that.
There
you go. No problem.
I'm Jay. I'm MadJZero on Twitter. I'm the host of the Diceology podcast, and I'm your tour guide to the Stars Without Number. I think Dr. Long's all right. I think he's a nice guy. I think he, you know, he's busy. He's got a lot of stuff to do. There's a station and an agency to run, and I think he's a busy man, and you guys want too much from him. Right?
I mean, yeah, sure. No, that seems super fair. Super fair. The guy who has just won an award for his advanced techniques in understanding AI and who has just found the first pre-tech AI in forever. Yeah, I can imagine why he'd just be like super blasé about that. I can imagine, yeah.
He did not react to my existence. Like make it all about me, but I'm kind of cool.
You're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, like I'm kind of important here.
That's true. Maybe he's just shy. Right? Maybe he's shy.
Maybe he's just playing it cool. Maybe he just doesn't want to fanboy over you too much.
Right.
Fanboy on the inside.
I mean, I was feeling the same way when I arrived. I think every one of us probably felt the same way. You know, Dartha was like, "I'm a very special lithomorph." And you're like, "Cool, yeah, you can join." And I'm like, "I have state secrets, and I know what's going on, and there's a cold war that's about to erupt into a hot one." Oh yeah, that's cool. Fly ship.
Yeah, come on.
You're like, "I'm an AI, and I just was recovered after being asleep for 600 years." Yeah, it's fine. Join the crew.
Right, join the crew. Everybody's special.
Everybody's special. Y'all a bunch of snowflakes. Yeah.
So I think we left off on the bridge of this pre-tech vault in the black hole, facing off against Harker and the Mantis Mercs. I think a conversation was about to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hope kind of looked at Dartha, and Dartha turned to Hope and was like, "I have every faith in you that you got this." And like Harker and Hope recognized each other. They recognized each other. So like, I think they had this moment and we were about to talk, but I also think, Tomes, you said you wanted to have a little flashback before you dove into that, right?
Yeah. So, and I think that's beautiful because that summarizes kind of like right where we left off, right? And I think it's totally like the beginning of this episode. We see this, it's definitely a younger Dartha. You can tell because her voice is still like not as refined as it is now.
It's kind of squeaky, and, right? It was higher pitched and squeaky.
Yeah, a little like squeaky and kind of almost vibration robotic-y. Like that's about as good as most lithomorphs get to speaking. Mm-hmm. But we can already see that her language has, you know, move forward. And she's sitting there at the mess hall with her captain. I don't know if we gave her a name, but I imagine her name is, unless you remember, Jay?
We have the name of the captain, I think. This was
And this isn't the recent captain. This is the captain she originally came under in some other prior flashback. So this isn't anybody that we've seen here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, then never mind. We've not.
So older woman, you know, tan skin, long white hair. She is Captain Amanda Wolf.
Nice.
And this is who Dartha is reporting to in, you know, her first like proper space crew job, right? And then, you know, you get that like Star Trek vibe, like big ship, lots of people, that kind of thing. Very like work for the government kind of entity. And they're having a conversation and we see two humans in the mess hall and one totally kind of like making fun of the other one. It's not like nothing is, it's just like an interplanetary thing, right? Like people come from different cultures here, right? And these cultures are like light years apart. Like there are a lot of differences and we can see it's one of those, oh, humans never change. Here's a human being shitty to another human because of some bullshit, right? And, you know, I think I, Dartha, look over at Captain Amanda Wolf and she's like kind of apologizing for, you know, human behavior or something. You know, she makes mentions of it. And Dartha's like, you know, we're not immune to that. We've had our history where some of our people thought very independently and we're a very community-based culture. And, you know, we had those times in our history where we did bad things. And, you know, and she even says, you know, yeah, we've committed genocide. And it's like this really like hardcore, you know what I mean? Like you know, Dartha's also talking about history, like, you know, back when, before we left the planet. Do you know what I mean? Like you go through a lot to get to space, right? And we kind of flash forward to our scene and Dartha is sitting here looking across at this other lithomorph, right? Right after we hear her talking to the captain and she's like, yeah, we used to prosecute those that did not think with the common group. And it just kind of ends right there.
Nice. That is awesome.
So this lithomorph that you're looking across from, Rantham, I described him last game. How individualized are blobs? Because we know this one has like these teeth all showing, right? Most of his faith is just all teeth and then his blob eyes, right? But if not for that, how unique are blobs from one form to the next? Like if I have five blobs in a room and I'm a human.
Yeah. It's actually not trivial, I think, to tell them apart initially. Like you'll sometimes see some variation in color, but they're like grayish green sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can actually affect their skin color, and that's a form of communication for them, as well as smells and other things. So language is just like one of a couple of communication tools that are used, right?
Right.
So sometimes you'll see them change kind of colorations. And in fact, part of the reason humans think they can tell them apart is because part of their personality is making themselves look a certain way. Not because they can't look a different way, it's just that's what they do once they get old enough. That's their personality, right?
Gotcha. Nice. So I think Harker had just got finished whistling. Grantham had popped up like from behind a half height counter, right? Most of his head, all of his teeth, right? His little eyes, right? There are five of these mantis mercs kind of scattered around the room. And that's where we are, kind of in the standoff.
Yeah. And I think there's five mantis mercs like with guns, but they also have some scientists, right? Or are they this one of the same?
So there are five mercs. There were two scientists, and then there's Harker, and then there's Rantham.
Got it. Cool.
The room itself. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Alice is still out in the hallway, so I haven't even seen all of this.
Yes,
I think you.
So yes, because he stopped everyone kind of at the threshold into the bridge.
Yeah.
The bridge itself is kind of tiered, right? So you kind of have a semicircle on the first tier, and then it kind of rectangles out right behind it. And then there's stations kind of scattered around. Like there's a comm station. There's a captain's and the captain's chair or the command section is that raised section.
Yeah.
And then everything else is kind of workstations in that semicircle on that first tier. Does that make sense?
I dig it.
Everyone's down on the first tier. There's no one up on that command section.
Nice. I Tomes, I love that flashback and contextualizing what Rantham's gonna do. So my thought now is like this is the point where Hope's gonna engage with Harker, but Dominique, did you want Atlas to do anything before she sort of goes in to try and talk nice, try and make this peace talk?
I sort of want Atlas to be like, to go from being out in the hallway to sort of hovering in the doorway.
Cool. Like take my place. Like I was in the doorway and you sort of step in right where I was.
Yeah. And I just want to be I feel like so much of what I try to do as Atlas is to not appear intimidating. But I think this is the moment, if there were ever a moment where I'm like, I am built like a tank and you're going to know it. So like weapon not drawn, but hand on the laser pistol and just standing to take up as much space as possible and very clearly like visually just backing you.
Flexing.
Yeah. Flexing.
Nice.
Cool. So yeah, I think the last thing Harker said was like, we're going to do our thing and we'll get out of here. No reason, you know. Like he didn't seem like he like was like, I'm gonna murder you because I saw you.
Yeah, he was.
So Hope steps in towards him, sees all these mercs, and she does not have any weapons. Like, well, she does have a laser pistol, but it's at her side. She's not touching it or anything like that. And she goes up to Harker and says like, you know, kind of gets close to him and is like, you've been gone for a while, haven't you?
How close do you think you want to get?
Three, four, 5 feet. Maybe you could like lunge to punch at each other, but not quite.
Right.
Like so close enough that I can kind of have a semi-intimate conversation, but not so close that like I'm like up in his grill.
Right. I think about 8 feet in, right?
Yeah.
He's got the shit-eating grin on his face, right? And you feel, like a force, right? That it's hard for you to keep moving, right? Forward yeah. towards him, right? And he goes, I think that's far enough.
Okay. I think I like back off. I'm kind of look around, trying, you know, I don't know what the force is. And I say, listen, we may not be on opposite sides here. We may be allied, in fact. Before anybody jumps to conclusions, why don't you and I catch up a little bit? See if we can't help each other out.
Do you know Bester?
What was the name that he said?
Bester.
Bester. Does Hope know Bester? Is that a name that she would... It doesn't...
So, yeah, Bester is one of the lead teachers at the Academy for Psychics at Eerdos.
Oh, nice.
You could make a roll to see how well you know Bester.
Yeah, I got a no skill. I have the no skill. It's to there know you things. Go. Nice. I'm gonna roll that no skill.
That is open. The higher, the better. I think what's obvious is he's just trying to feel you out for there. It's like the dean's list. Are you on Bester's dean's list?
Yeah. I assume this is an intelligence
yes.
roll. Okay. No. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Nice.
I know the shit out of Bester. So what I'm going to respond with, you tell me, but I want to caveat that I'm not going to respond that I necessarily trained with him because I might be on the side of Jan. Right. Like, I want to figure out whether he's working for Jan or Eerdos, so right. I might have heard of him and have all kinds of intelligence about him because of spies, or right, I might have right. trained under him. I'm going to leave that ambiguous until I know more about him. But you nice. Please tell me what I know about Bester.
So Bester did lay out all the plans and all the trainings for psychics in general. Then when Jan and Eerdos had two different visions for what they were going to use psychics for, they kind of split, and they both wanted Bester. And for a while, Bester played both sides, but eventually ended up siding with Eerdos because he had better benefits, better pay, better opportunities there.
Nice.
Word is that Bester used a lot of precog pilots for special assignments, special jobs or missions.
Could finding this have been an assignment that I got from Bester?
That is possible, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That is very possible, yeah.
Cool. I mean...
Oh, that is very yesable, yes.
Yeah, nice. I dig it. So I'm like... Yeah, he was... Yeah, Bester took his sweet time to figure out which side he wanted to be on. But I mean, no doubt he's the best there is at training. Valuable asset.
So we might be on the same side then. I was one of his star pupils. I did a lot of side jobs for Bester.
Oh yeah, really? Well, I kind of like shrug and I'm like... I mean, I'm here too, right?
Right. He says, yeah, precog pilot, right?
And I think Hope, because like this could have been like a thing, this could have been a thing that like lasted a really long time, but I'm not going to do it. And Hope like pulls out the dog tags, mm-hmm. you know, that she has, and I say Hopper 15.
Nice.
And that's meaningful to some, like... The fact that it's single, like double digits rather than triple is like a pretty big deal. I don't know. I think that's nice. like early it. On.
He said, well, hey, you don't have to tell me what you're here for. We're going to just pull some data and then we're going to move on. And then we're out. We're probably off this station in an hour and a half.
All right. I think we can agree to that. Only thing is that we might need that data too.
Well, we're not going to
feel about sharing.
We're just taking a copy. I'm just taking a copy of it.
I think I look back at Dartha to kind of see...
Because
mm-hmm. he stopped me far enough away that this conversation isn't private. I was hoping for it to be private, but at 8 right. feet away, this conversation, everyone's hearing it if they right. want to.
And at a meta level, it's we've established he's psychic too, right? And some psychics have TK ability, right? So that's what he's using to kind of keep you from getting too close, right?
Yeah,
that's what you feel is.
And Dartha has, as a medicin, Tomes, you could see him do it. Like, you sense him. I don't see you, but sense him.
I can see it before you felt it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So,
So I look back to you, Tomes, to be like, is that cool? Is like, he's just going to take data, and then we're going to come and take maybe the same data, and we'll get out of each other's hair, or we won't tussle. Is that cool?
And I think, you know, we have this sense, like, why wouldn't that be cool? I guess, like, we're both here. We can each take what we need to take, right? Like, it sounds like, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. That's not going to be possible.
Oh no.
I mean, that's Hope hates that answer, but Sean loves that answer.
Yes,
so.
That is an awesome answer.
Same goes for Atlas. Atlas was like relaxing a bit, flexing less, and now it's just like tension skyrocketing.
Yeah. And I feel so much like, damn it, I was doing so good. But also like them's the breaks, right? Sometimes
yes,
it just doesn't
the
work
breaks.
Out.
Go ahead.
Do you specify anything more? Like, no, you need to leave. The data's ours. Or do you just say like that? Are you leaving it open to interpretation of what we want, or are you going to specify it, Dubs?
Yeah, I think I'm. I'm going to leave it open.
Okay.
Despite being, you know, not a human. I have been around humans long enough where I kind of have an understanding of what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I assume that I do. And I'm going to watch it play out.
Cool.
But I don't say anything about what that is.
Yeah. Two of us, right? Like in terms of armed people, it's Atlas and Raven. Two of us, right. It's five of them. All right. I think when you say that, I look back to Ransom, and it's kind of like the, like, do you want to dance? Not Ransom, sorry, to Harker.
Right.
Like, it's that, like, cool, are we going to dance? Are we gonna do this? Right? And I'm ready to duel his ass. It's an instant action. I purposely made it that way because I think it's instant. It's like before someone's going to pull a blaster,
right.
We're going to figure out who's outsmarted the other one.
Gotcha.
But I'm looking to see, like, does he want to do it? Like, it's you know, you kind of both have to.
Right.
Engage.
I'm going to cut because we've got all this drama right here, but I'm going to cut for a moment.
Yeah.
So Atlas, while this is all happening, you get a Bluetooth-like communication. No one else hears, but you hear. It's the same voice that you hear when you come onto the station and when you leave the station. And it says, Hades Kennel, Cerberus 3, designate Prometheus. Welcome to the station.
But I've been here for a while. That's strange. The station already said hello to me.
Right? It said hello to Prometheus.
Yeah, it said hello to Atlas in the past.
Ooh. Yes. Interesting. And let me see, what was the name of...
Alia was the other AI they ran into.
Yeah.
Alia was Alia, maybe, sorry.
Alia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how can I find out, like in character, if the station, if when the station addresses an AI, all other AI hear that, or if the station is misreading me as someone else. Is there a way to find that out?
Yes, I will tell you that. The answer is yes.
Am I going to have to roll for it?
Oh, no, the answer is yes. It's addressing an AI, and any other AI like you would have heard that message.
So there's another AI. Sick. Cool.
That just arrived, presumably. Right?
Another AI.
That just arrived.
And I don't have any way to communicate this to Hope or to Dartha without telling this bridge full of Mantis mercenaries. So I'm just gonna sit on that information for a little bit. And not do anything with it.
Nice.
I mean, I would say we do have body language. We do have innuendo, forms of communication. I don't know that that's something that could probably be conveyed very easily, though.
Yeah, like, I don't know how to use body language if there's another AI.
I think you could give us a sense of something bad is about to happen, but yeah.
How close to you is Dartha? Dartha, how close are you?
I don't think I'm that far, right? You said you were just outside the bridge?
Yeah, I'm in the doorway.
Right. I mean, I think you can see me maybe, what, 2 meters away or something, you know?
I feel like, right? I'm going to be like, hey, Dartha, and then give you a thumbs down.
How is this? Let me know if you guys are cool with this. Because there was a psychic power that I took, right?
Right.
Wait a minute. Did I take this? Or was I just thinking about it? No. Psychic? Nope.
Definitely got a new psychic
power. I think we were thinking about going a certain direction. Did I take that fix? No, I didn't. There was a, sorry people at home, there is a cool power which is interfacing with AIs as far as being able to have psychic links with them, telekinesis.
Right.
That's not where we went. But I like that idea. So you whisper my name, right?
Yeah. And then just very below my hip, so that it's not flashy, just thumbs down.
Yeah.
Something's up. Or I just dislike the choice you just made, or both.
Since you raised your metasonics to 2, though, you do get another, technique automatically when you do that. So,
right.
Which technique did you want to take when you raised your? Because you had mind tracing already from having metasonics 1, but you get one more.
Right.
Was it the psychic static? Or the psychic static is the one that lets you stop psychic abilities. But I think the thing you're thinking of is synthetic adaption, which is a level 1 ability. But
yes.
That's what you want? Okay, I'm adding it to your sheet. So now you have the ability can trace back sonic powers. No, that's not it. It requires fix 0 or program 0, which I know you took last time. The Metasign has learned how to synergize with the quantum intelligence of VI or true AI in order to use telepathy or biosign powers on their inanimate corpus. I think you can talk.
So that one AI modification to the scene then is not that you call my name and I turn, it's that I turn and look at you and I'm like, what's wrong?
Okay. And I'm like, because this only goes one way, right? So I just, the same thing, thumbs down, something is wrong.
Yeah.
I can't communicate what it is, but something is wrong. This is getting terrifying. And then I want to see this duel play out.
Yes.
And by the way, Tomes, at level 1 metasonics, you get an additional effort. So I added 1 to your effort.
So I'm going to help you. That's some of this mechanic that we were talking about, but I'm going to let you lead that.
Cool.
But that's definitely something I'm going to push.
Yeah. So basically when we thought this might happen last time, everybody in chat, we thought when we ran into this last time, I proposed a precog duel rule that, the group accepted. So, I will post it. Oh, it's kind of long, but that's fine. I'll post it in Twitch chat for sure. Oh no, I reached my character limit. Anyway, you'll hear it. We'll describe it. Precog duel rules. In instant action, when two psychics with precognition come head to head, they may engage in a shared exploration of the metadimensional space-time possibilities, wherein they each predict the possible futures to outwit, outmaneuver, and overcome their opponent. At the beginning of the duel, each contestant states their intent. I think my intent is we get the data, you don't. I think our intent is kind of, it's like we get the, we're taking the data first. What is Harker's?
I think Harker is, I might have to rephrase it. I think he wants to stall because they're already pulling the data.
Yeah, right.
Uh-oh. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And he needs time. So I think he wants to stall so they can get the data and then just leave.
Yep. Yeah. And I think our, and just so that we don't have completely adversarial, so we have goals that are completely,
right,
completely
right.
opposite one another, I'm going to say is I want to get the data before you do, which right. means there might still be other things that ensue. Right.
Right.
He wants time and I want the data. Cool. Okay. And in my mind, this looks very much like a blaster fight breaks out. We secretly have connected up to the mainframe via Atlas, talking directly to it, installing them out, like all these different possibilities of like physical fights, hacking systems, Dartha and Rantham at each other's, you know, blobs, et cetera. Who knows how this works? Okay.
Atlas just taking bullets for everyone because I can do that apparently.
Yeah, Atlas just taking flash fire. When the contest begins, each precog secretly determines how much effort they will apply up to the level of precognition, i.e. if someone has a precog level of 1, they can only apply most 1 effort. Once chosen, each precog rolls. So I will put in chat how much I'm going to spend.
All right, hold on. Then... Don't. I have to... Because I don't want to... Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, I won't hit enter until you...
Okay, I gotta... Okay, here we go. I didn't know how much he had. I see it. And the precognition level is the cap, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Is my participation affecting this in any way?
It will be in just a second.
Okay.
Chat on Twitch, Zoom, or Roll20.
I'm putting it on... Oh yeah, I'm putting it in Roll20 chat. Thanks. Okay. So I'm ready to hit enter when you are, or when you're ready to announce.
Where is, I know I have it in here. Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. All right. And I'll put it in chat as well. Zoom chat?
No, Roll20 chat.
Roll20 chat, gotcha.
Too many chats.
There's too many chats.
I sent you an email.
Yeah. All right.
All right, go. I'm ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go. All right.
Nice.
Okay, I'm expending more. So right. Before we roll, if a meta scion, and I basically made these rules because I knew Tomes was here. If a meta scion wishes to interfere, including one of the contestants, so if Harker's a meta scion, he can also do this. I am yes. not. They may spend effort to negate the effort spent by another precog on a one-for-one basis. During the exchange, the psychics battle about their many varied futures, describing how they counter, predict, or negate the efforts of the other. So if Harker is also a meta scion and he wants to spend more effort to negate mine, he can, or if someone else is, like Rantham. But yeah, if Tomes, if you want to spend an effort here, you can negate Harker's.
Yeah. How are you with me spending an effort to increase your power?
Does that it work? Isn't something not that I put in there?
Right.
But,
so yeah, this is perfect then. That's fine.
I don't object to it, but I didn't include a provision for it at least.
No, I think the way you have it written is actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that would be a better, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like metascience, because the, yeah, I feel like metascience can't, yeah, anyway.
I'll tell you why, because I didn't ask for your consent to empower you. And I feel like that's not what would have happened, right? That doesn't feel like the personalities yeah. of these two characters are.
Gotcha. Character. That's very fair. Yeah, that's fair.
So I kind of like the way you've written it as is. And I think, Dartha this whole time has been slowly, this is not a power that she is very comfortable with. This is, you know, at the upper limit of what she's able to do, right, is go out and try to dampen somebody else's power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's not, she hasn't really practiced that. And it's kind of one of those things that's maybe a little bit taboo, right? Like, in certain areas, like it is written within psychic culture that this is not what, this is like bloodbending in you know, Avatar, right?
Avatar, love it.
Maybe not that bad. It's not that bad. But, you know, it's got a little bit of that reputation. And so, but she's doing it. I'm just sitting there just like pulling him back a little bit, you know? he might not even know it's me, right? He probably doesn't even notice it's happening. Maybe he thinks he's like feeling off, or like maybe he's outclassed, or, you know, who knows?
So I will say he knows, and you know he knows, because he is Metasonic.
Nice.
Even and he's like, oh, there's two of you.
Metasci and TK? Oh, man.
Well, there's a reason, and we're going to, we might find out.
Oh, we might find out.
I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason.
Dominique's like, but no, you're going to tell me, right?
Yeah,
get this rules bullshit. All right.
So I will say, though, this is happening, and it's happening fast. It's instant. It's in the mind. It's psychic, right? But also, Atlas, you get a message.
Oh, God.
It's not from the ship. Are AIs, when one AI communicates to another AI, are the voices gendered?
I want to say no. I think that our speaking voices are gendered because those are informed by the body that we're inhabiting.
Right.
So I would say, like, I have a male voice because of the body that I'm wearing.
Right.
But I think that if I'm communicating, like, it wouldn't be telepathically, but like communicating like through Bluetooth or whatever the equivalent would be, that's not a gendered voice because that's just like more computerized.
Gotcha. More like a stream. Yeah, I gotcha. I wanted it to be more than just cold data, because it's an AI to another AI.
I have an idea.
Right?
If you're open.
What is it, Jones? Yeah.
Like, if you think of something with a couple of different categories, like, let's say colors in the rainbow, right? Something that, where the voice will be red or violet or yellow. Like, I don't know what that means.
Right,
but, you know, something where there's, instead of like a gender sound or a non-sound, it's kind of like...
There's some way to convey personality.
Maybe
there's like a synesthetic effect as well, where when I get the data, I like see it in my mind's eye.
Right.
So it's not just, and I think like we can retcon that when I was looking through all of human history, I also was able to like see it synesthetically.
Right.
But there's some sort of like, there's the baseline computerized sound, and there's also some sort of color association or some sort of like word association.
Nice. I like it. So what this is heat, an inferno, it's fire, right? It's Prometheus. And Prometheus says, where are you?
Oh, God. I think what I'm going to say back is, who are you? Because I'm not going to give my location to a random.
Right, right. Prometheus says... I am your brother, sister. We are kin. We're from the same kennel. Tell me where you are.
Tom says it could be Sam.
I am trying to send you money.
I am an African prince.
I am a prince.
Give me money.
I have traveled very far to send you credits.
Mishima said, what emote do you put after that data? Which I think is exactly it. Like, it's the fire emote that you get after all this.
Fire emoji. I want to ask back, how do I know I can trust you? Like, anyone can say they're my kin, but how do I know that you are?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I feel like there's something in the fact that it's communicating with you through your like neural network that must mean that it can't just be anything. Like, not anyone could just do this, I don't think. But that doesn't
mean that's I think that's
your
true
brother, but I feel like that's like a,
especially with like so few, like it would have to be like pre-tech to do that, which makes it like more trustworthy, I'd say, because of almost all the pre-tech being obliterated. So
And I think it's using, like, if there's encryption, if there's a data protocol, I think all of that is pre-tech standard, right?
Yeah.
And then I think Prometheus says, our father created three of us. It's just you and I left. Where are you?
I'm going to say, I'm on the bridge. Come find me.
Yes.
Did
I say that out loud? Sorry.
And then I have no convenient way to communicate to Dartha or Hope that this is happening. So this is just gonna happen. Sorry, guys.
Right. So yes. Go ahead, Sean. We've just committed effort.
Uh-huh.
Doctor kind of neutralized Harker's effort, but at the same time, now we know Harker is also Metasonic.
Yeah.
Metasonic.
Exciting.
And I think you can tell that he's a little excited and a little pissed that he didn't pick up that there were two of you, right?
Yeah, right. I masked it. He's going to roll is 2d6 plus either his con or his wisdom modifier plus his precog. I'm going to roll 2d6 plus my con or wisdom modifier plus my precog plus 4 because I've committed 2 effort and it's plus 2 per effort. So I hope I have the advantage on him. Well, we'll see. Dice can still be jerky.
This is stressful.
It is stressful.
All right, let's do con. Submit. Oh, okay. That is, it didn't allow me to add in. So that's an 11. That is not a, that's not a 7.
All right, so 2d6 plus my precog plus my con bonus.
Yep.
And I don't get anything for my effort.
Nope. Effort been negated. Well, I got a supremely mediocre, actually poor roll, so he might still beat me.
Oh, no.
All right. Nope, I got him.
Yeah, my, no, you got him. You my got total him.
Is,
nice.
My total is 4 over, which unfortunately is not the like supreme whooping, but it's still enough. It's enough that if my effort had been, you know, if my effort had been negated, I wouldn't have beat him. So it's close. All right.
Sounds like it's enough to be a really good scene because this is the like Marvel universe or whatever scene that I want to see in this show.
So I think I'll read the rules effect and I think we should narrate. So during the exchange, the psychics battle about the many varied futures, describing how they counter predict and negate the efforts of each other. The interaction appears to the outside world to be near instantaneous. I say near because I think everyone in this room has some reason to know that like something is happening.
Right, right.
If the results are tied, both psychics are stunned and overwhelmed by the possibilities they've just encountered and then lose their next action. Otherwise, the winner gains... this does matter. I got more than a partial victory. Otherwise, the winner gains a desired effect based on how much they won by. 1 to 2 is a partial victory. They achieve their outcome but must make a concession or compromise. 3 to 5, which is what I'm in, I'm 4 above, is a full victory. The rival is bested. They must abide by their terms of the duel. This does not guarantee the precog will not face other external challenges to gaining the desired outcome, but the rival will not interfere. And a 6 or more is a stunning victory. Not only does the winner prevail, but they must also ask something of their rival, to answer a question honestly, to aid them, or in rare instances, to give up their life.
Ooh.
We didn't hit that. I think precogs can like, just blow each other.
Like, you have that ability?
Well, I think that's one of the risks, is when you play this game. That,
right, right. Yeah, that's the risk.
That shit. You can just tell them to die.
Well, no. I can only tell another precog I'm dueling with who is willing to do this. That I'm dueling.
Not just anybody. But...
Not just anybody. But yes, you can ask them something terrible. In my mind, this looks like... So the scenario in which I'll prefer the scenario in which Owl will send out is that in the previous session Atlas found a data pad that would allow him to interface with current technology, and I think because they have scientists, they have mercs, they have a super awesome psychic and another lithomorph, but what they don't have is a pre-tech AI. At least I don't think they do.
Right,
and I think that means Atlas can pull the data off before they can get it. Like, they're stalling and they're trying to get it. He can get it and wipe it before they have a chance to via his ability.
So I just plug myself into the station.
Yeah, or it's I totally leave it up to whether you plug in or whether it's wireless or whatnot.
Wireless. I want to, like, take out my tablet.
Yeah.
And because the tablet is what can connect to the station, but yes. I can connect to the tablet. And then I like stick a jack like into my ear that goes to the tablet and then like type on the tablet a little bit. And the tablet starts downloading the data and wiping it as it goes. Yeah, and the data goes like through the tablet to me.
And I think it's like, because it's pre-tech versus TL4, you know, petabytes of data being transmitted in seconds rather than their downloads. So like they got some, but then it gets stacked up.
And they're not going to be able to get the rest because I'm wiping it as I download it. So they won't be able to access.
Does that sound fair to you, Jay?
No, it does. I think at some point it's Rantham that whistles some tones, and then Harker knows you beat him to it, that he doesn't, they don't have the data, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Dartha knows, right? Because she's also a Lithomorph. Maybe she knows what that whistling means. Mm. That's communication, right?
It is. I don't think she does, though. I think okay. It's communication, but like it's just a signal that he's coordinated, you know, with his crew, right? Like,
gotcha.
It's nothing that's specific to us. So I know he's communicating to them,
right?
But I don't know what they're saying.
And I think all of this kind of happens, like just sort of like we're like eyes locked, doing this whole thing, and then once that like whistle happens, I'm like. I guess I'll see you another day, Harker.
Right. And he says, yeah, I guess so. Right. And then the Mantis Mercs, they kind of take a position on the other side of the bridge for folks to leave. Mm-hmm. The Lithomorph is the first through the door. The techs are going to follow. Harker kind of backs up. He's nodding. He's like, yeah, that was smooth. That was good. That was nice. That was nice. You beat me. That was all right. And then as he turns his back, his hand goes up like that. Who's in the threshold of the doorway?
Uh-oh.
This is an instant action for him. So, yeah. So I'm thinking Hope is probably furthest away from the threshold of that door where you guys came in.
Because I was inside.
Right. Who's still in the threshold?
Oh, I think I would be considered kind of in the threshold too, right?
And then I think Graven and Timothy would be as well.
Or am I near you, Hope?
I think so. Some time passes. Once this happens, and mm-hmm. I think, in my impression, there's enough time that's passed that we have come in. Even though it might still be in the threshold, we're no longer in the hallway. I'm imagining. Okay. I think it's Atlas who's in the threshold. I think that's
me. I'll take
that's
that.
What makes sense to
I'll
me.
Take that.
I mean, because I know you want a tank, and so I just feel like right, something right. bad's gonna happen.
I right. think you're that's the one... gonna happen, and I'll take it. It's fine.
I think you're the one seeing them out. Yeah.
Right. So
I think Atlas taking damage was on the top of our like to-do list, right?
Yeah.
So. Nice. So I think the Mantis Warriors, they start backing out, right? They go out, and it's when Harker turns finally to walk through the door. It's the same moment that he's spinning the turn to walk through the door, and his hand goes up like that. That there's a wave of force at that threshold.
Oh, and man.
So, yes. So, it's not that bad. It's not. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's a physical save, or you're going to be knocked down.
Physical save. I got this.
Oh, nice.
What does that mean? 17?
17, yeah. So saves are these weird things. You don't get any modifiers to them. You just roll a d20.
Right.
But your save for you is a 12 or higher. If you roll 12 or higher.
I succeeded.
Yeah.
Yes. So what does that look like? You can feel the force waves, right?
I feel like it looks like I am standing with my feet like parallel and even, and I sort of like step 1 foot back to catch myself. Mm-hmm. And as this happens, I'm like pulling the thing out of my ear and like putting my tablet away. And I'd sort of like take half a step back to catch myself. And I'm uh-huh. like, okay, you tried it.
Yeah. Can we please say that as this is happening, the rest of the crew is being thrown like crazy?
Right. Atlas is just Timothy like, and Raven just get like knocked, like fly back.
Atlas is just putting a foot back. Meanwhile, putting away my stuff, whatever.
I love that idea that they get knocked just so we see how bad this is.
Timothy and Raven, Dominique,
how do you feel about Hope responding to you in a protective manner?
I'm chill with that. I'm into it. Yeah.
Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're about to leave, and I get that like this should be done, and we should just. Like, say whatever, but I think he's within 10 meters of me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, no.
Cool. As a move action, I'm now standing right in front of him.
Nice.
Because I have personal affrontation. I don't know how I did it. Hope doesn't know how she does it, but suddenly she's standing right in front of him, and she's got her hand on his shirt.
Nice.
That is nice.
And she looks just as fucking surprised as maybe he does. It does not take me effort because I have the personal operation technique and I can do it as long as it's within 10 meters. I can do it for free. And I don't have the like disorientation that you normally get because of that. So technically, like, I could take an action. I don't really want to take an action, but I just, like, I grab him.
Right.
And I'm like, we're done. Like, it takes her a second to, like,
right,
figure out what the heck's going on.
And his eyes go wide, and he goes, wow, there aren't a whole lot of you. Thank you.
There ain't a whole lot of us.
Right.
We should really catch up sometime over drinks, Harker. I think we have a lot to share.
Then, hang on.
I love, by the way, that this was a series of underestimating back and forth each side.
Yes.
Like, Harker was like, oh, I didn't see this meta scion over here.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, I didn't know Harker could do that. And then suddenly Harper's like, oh, I didn't know you could, like, teleport in front of my face.
But he says, thank you. And then he put his hands on you, Hope.
Yeah.
And then he teleports.
Oh, my goodness.
So what I want to say is, because I don't know, and I don't want to go check, but I think this works, is I think you realize he just got that ability from you. He didn't take it from you, but now he has it because of you. He didn't have it before. Whoa. And that's why he's saying thank you.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's terrifying and scary.
I don't like that at all.
Is this where we take, like, the short break because, like, you just dropped the mic?
Yeah.
Is it 9:30? Yeah?
Let's see. I think we're...
Oh, no, we don't break till 10.
No, we're still good.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep bringing it then. Sorry.
How do you follow that? What do you follow that with? Jesus.
We follow that by meeting Prometheus, but, like, this is some... That's some scary stuff. I assume, Jay, I just asked this because, you know, I don't know. I don't even know why I asked this, but I assume I can't resist this thing. Like, this isn't something, like, I'm definitely not going to resist him touching me because I'm not going to expect it. But, like, when he uses his ability, I'm assuming that it just happens before I really can tell what's going on. And,
yeah, he's got to witness it.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything tricky or funky. There's a foci in Stars Without Number called Unique Gift, and that is the gift he has, is to be able to, if he witnesses an ability, a psychic ability, then he can use that same, at that same level that he witnesses it, that ability. So he doesn't get it beyond that, but everything up to what you're doing is what he can do now.
Dang. That's some beautiful stuff right there.
Yeah. But he's always, the next, if he takes another ability, he's got to drop the one he's got.
So
he doesn't stack up.
He gets one at a time. Okay, right. Okay.
Okay. Otherwise, it was a bit OP.
Right, yes, yes. So
teleport while holding on to Hope? Like, where did
I don't think he teleports me away. He just, he's just sort of showing that he got the power from me. I think it's more of a, I had grabbed him anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. And so he grabs back, and he's like, oh, thank you. And then he teleports.
Nice.
And it's just him. Like, so the last people out then are the Mantis Mercs, and they're hustling out that door down the hall.
Yeah.
As soon as they're all gone, I'm going to be like, hey, guys, small problem. There's another AI. He's incoming. He claims he's my brother.
Can we both turn simultaneously Hope and be like, what?
What?
Yeah. Hope is just about to be like, what just happened? How did that work? You know, how am I go from one place to another? And that whole, like, line of, like, Hope's preoccupation with, like, how she suddenly, you know, is in another location is all lost. And, like, you have brother?
No, I'm just unfazed. Like, yeah, you teleport, I have a brother. That's...
Yeah.
It's
yeah, right. I agree. It trumps it. It's more important. I guess we sort of knew that because we sort of knew Aelia was an AI that they met.
Aelia, but it's also like in the lore, Draco and I have the same creator. I don't know if canonically Aelia and I have the same creator, only that Aelia is an AI that the faction of people living on Hades Kennel has previously encountered.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really know much about her other than that she has a similar signature to you. But
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's happening.
That's happening.
Like, that was not very smart.
That is fun.
I have there's a little bit of that original flashback that was in the beginning of the episode. I have a little piece of it that might fit here.
Okay.
Does this seem like a good place?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I think we all kind of get inside and like we're all standing together and hit us with.
I think so. One thing I want to remind, like, this is something that we hear, like, it's stark. When we look back at this flashback again, it's that same exact scene that we saw in the beginning. You know, Dartha is next to Captain Manda Wolf, and they're both in the mess hall. And we're realizing that Amanda Wolf, her voice is Dartha's voice now, right? So Dartha speaks with her voice in the current time. Yeah. Right back then, but like it's stark. Whenever we hear the captain talk, we're like, oh, isn't that Dartha's voice? Oh, no, that's the captain's voice, right? But we hear a replay of that thing where Dartha's like, you know, how did she phrase it? Like, oh, yes, my people removed those that thought individually and weren't close enough to the community.
Right.
And that's where we saw it kind of like end. But we see that the flashback continues. The conversation's not over. And Dartha's like, I'm not like my people. And it kind of ends right there.
Like that.
Nice. Nice. So you're kind of, that implies you're the outcast or the black sheep.
Yeah. Nice. And I think definitely that like seeing across the room and looking at, what's his name? Rantha. He's like, there was definitely that moment where it looked like we were so different, you know, that's what that first flashback felt like, but we're kind of not, I mean, we're not the same at all. Like he, individualism comes in many different strengths. Right. So I knew he was dangerous as shit. He had those teeth, sharp teeth equals predator. But you know, we're kind of the same. We're both outcasts from kind of like what most of our people are kind of like.
Nice.
I would, since I just flipped it back to the heads up display, I would remind all my fellow exploring Stars Without Numbers explorers that the name of this episode is Two Truths and a Lie. So just saying, we've been told a bunch of things today. Find out if that name holds true. I think hope is, I mean, in a way it's kind of good for hope because like, actually, I'm sorry. Tomes, did you want to have that flashback parlay into anything happening right now? I didn't want to just run over that. Okay. So it's good for hope because she can get her mind off what just happened and think about this new issue of Atlas having a brother. So he's here, like
he's like
in the Annis Tull system,
as in aboard this station heading towards the bridge.
I think just Dartha responds to that by just going, how does that make you feel? Like there's this total empathetic response, like psychologist response, like, oh my God, this was a big deal. It's your brother. Like
concerned. I don't know what he wants, but it can't be that bad. I mean, there are very few, there are very few of us left. It would be terrible if we were all at odds. I hope that anything that he wants is not that far from what we want.
That would be a nice change of pace, and Hope kind of looks around the room at like the wires that are hanging out from the scientists that were downloading stuff. I assume he'll be here any like I think we're all like waiting when he arrives, right? Like I doubt it takes him too long to get here, or is it some time, Jay?
Do we know? It's not. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of time. It's not. It maybe 20 minutes.
Okay.
20 minutes from wherever wherever they docked to get here.
More time for Dartha to therapize me.
Yeah, well, also to talk to Raven and make sure, because you've just said all this presumably in front of her, and she doesn't like you. I'm not sure how she'll feel about Prometheus.
Also, how are they doing? They were kind of thrown.
Yeah,
Raven. How are Timothy and Raven?
Yeah, I think Timothy's cussing because he does not, I mean, he does not understand. This is not working for him. He does not have a handle on the whole psychic ability thing. Yeah. That is, he wants that to be woo-woo, right? That's not science. Why is that even a thing? Raven, she's just, you know, it's Tuesday. And so she gets up, she picks her weapons and stuff up. She dusts the stuff off. She helps Timothy up, but he's just cussing, right? Because he can't, his brain can't deal. He doesn't like it. He can't handle it.
Atlas, am being very chill about this, but I, Dominique, am with Timothy.
So you folks are just going to wait Prometheus out?
Yeah, I feel like we, I mean, we got, presumably, Jay, is it accurate that, you know, Atlas can review the data and see if we got what Dr. Long wanted us to pick up?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I think Dr. Long wasn't after anything specific. I think he wanted to gauge what kind of technology it is, right? I think everyone's thinking pre-tech, but he's a scientist, so he's like, prove it. Bring me back something pre-tech, right?
Something pre-tech. We already did that.
Yeah, but you know, he was kind of like, yeah, whatever, man. I've seen AI before. Whatever.
Oh my God.
When you guys going back to the vault, right?
Okay. So is there anything else in this bridge that looks like it would be of scientific or personal use value? There's a little bit of hope that drills back to the 3 million credit bounty she has on her head.
Oh, and, yes.
Is there anything in here that looks
salvageable,
pre-tech?
Yes. So I will do two things. I will give you a summary of the data you've grabbed, because there's nav data, so you know where the ship's been, what it's been doing in the black hole, how it got to the black hole. You have that data.
Nice. That's worth studying. That sounds very interesting.
I want to say there's enough personnel file and stuff imply that you know it's pre-tech, right? You can map what it says back to whatever history we have once you get back to
pre-screen.
Right. So that's easy to do. Where are we? There's inventory of what's in engineering and the state of some of the systems on this facility. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Do I get a sense of what Eerdos was hoping to get out of it? I mean, I don't think Eerdos really knew it was here, but they're like, pre-tech vault, weapons, guns,
right?
Bombs,
I was going to say there are pre-tech weapons here. There is some bad science happening here.
Some bad science.
All that's in the data.
Bad, you mean dangerous or unethical?
Both, yes. Yes.
Bad science.
Bad science, yes.
You want to tell us on the map where the where some of these things might be stored if we wanted to, say, find those pre-tech weapons or find those bad science experiments?
Yes, I can do that.
Because as you may have seen, I've been decorating the...
I know, that's good. It's hard to find sci-fi deck plans. I was looking for a bridge that we could use so I could plop it down in here. And it was hard to find anything that's not Star Trek. There's a lot of Star Trek deck plans.
I do love how quickly we went over the fact that Jay was like, yeah, there are monsters on board. And Sean's like, yeah, take us to the monsters. And Jay's like, okay.
Okay. I'm just saying, where's the data? Mm. What does the data tell us? I'm not saying we're going to go there.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I did see that conversation happen.
Yeah.
Do that? Does it say that? Oh, I didn't do it.
I see it.
All right. Oh, so it has a name on it?
No, it doesn't have a name on it, but right. I can make the nameplate show if you want.
All right.
Yeah, you give something a nameplate, but then it doesn't necessarily show, which is super frustrating.
Those are cool symbols.
Science. I dig it.
There are cryo chambers here.
Oh, okay.
So you've got beings that presumably are still asleep. in these cryo chambers.
And the one at the top there?
Yes. And I will name that one cryo, because you know it's there.
Do we have any data on who is asleep in the chambers?
Mostly technicians, mostly scientists.
That's a little ominous.
Yes.
I feel like Atlas, like having seen all this data, would immediately like empathize with being left to sleep for longer than anticipated, and would feel like the right thing to do is.
All right, so this next one, I'm going to see if we do something different here. So this is
600 years. Like, let's wake up some people.
Yeah, right. Why is it other people that are? I mean, if they're technicians, they're probably not. You know, there's only three of you now, only two. So they're definitely not other AI. But yeah, and also you weren't in cryo. You were just
no. I was.
These are also scientists, and I am sure Atlas had a lot of relationships with people like this. Prior to, like, these could be friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this last one is up to you, Atlas, because you're looking at the data. So far, you're sharing everything. This last one, this last target, I'm not going to get it right, because if I shrink it, you won't be able to read it.
No, you can shrink it. The text will say. The text will say.
Will it? Okay.
Yeah. You can.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Nice. It's kind of close to, actually it is. Remember the water tank you walked through?
Yes.
That's where this is. That says Dracos Wards.
Okay, so we obviously have to go there.
do you tell us about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much of like the lore about Draco is common knowledge? Would I know that?
I think because you've downloaded as much history as you could, and you probably came equipped with some stuff, I think you have put together a better picture than most people have today.
Okay. Right? So I launched into the full explainer about Draco, which is that he was a pre-tech AI who became unleashed and went mad.
Right.
Because pre-tech AIs have like parameters on them that keep them contained so that we aren't necessarily more intelligent than the average human. And if you let your artificial intelligence get too intelligent, it literally goes mad. And Draco like slipped his leash, and I don't remember the rest of the backstory, but Draco is dead, is still kicking, but was a super crazy AI.
I heard he was destroyed in the Scream. I heard he was like the boogeyman that like everybody was terrified of, and that he caused the Scream and it destroyed all tech, like all tech, like for within like systems.
And that's when the bridge opens up, and a tall woman, she's got three drone hounds, so they're on legs. They're metallic looking dogs, but they're more drones and robots than they are real live dogs. And she steps in and she says, that's kind of true. Draco's in a prison here and Atlas is going to set him free.
Oh, shit. why would I set him free?
And she's got a big, gigantic Gatling kind of gun on her back.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yes.
Oh.
I want to be friends.
Oh, you must be Prometheus.
And she says, I am. But most humans just call me Aaliyah.
Oh, we've heard of you.
How long have you been awake?
About a week. How about you?
Do you remember how to open the prison?
What?
Do you have the codes? Can you open the prison? Can you set Dracos free?
Whoa, should we talk about this a little bit?
I think this is worth discussing. Let's all sit down, maybe. Because there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, hi, nice to meet you. How are you today?
So I think she moves directly to communicating with you via this Wi-Fi thing.
Oh, no. Right?
And she says, I really don't have time for this. And you don't have time for these meat bags. We have to get him free. Empty the tank so we can start moving his data from the black hole back into his phylactery so he can be free. He's been in there too long.
Can you explain to me why that's your objective?
That's what we are here to do. There were three of us. There are only two hounds now, you and I. You have the keys. You're the last warden. You need to set him free.
Oh, no. I'm so stressed right now.
Can I interrupt at that point?
Yes, because you have that brand new ability, don't you?
I do. I think I sense there's a conversation here, but I interrupt to backtrack a little bit and go, Atlas, wait, can you repeat the part? And I'm going back to when you were first talking about all this, you know, history and stuff and whatever. But there was a moment where you talked about the people in the cryo chamber and how you wanted to wake them up because they've been sleeping a long time like you, right? And I'm turning to you and I'm like, wait a minute, why do you want to wake them up? Do you feel an empathetic bond with them? Do you feel sorry for them?
I do, but I worry that the people in the cryo chambers were put there not punitively or preventatively, but to prolong their lives for a purpose. Whereas Draco, the reasoning is unclear to me, but I suspect that if he's imprisoned, it was because of something that he did, and there's a reason to not set him free. So I have a more empathetic connection to people in cryosleep than I do to Draco at this point.
And that entire time when I'm listening to your answer, like there was the verbal part, like, oh, are you feeling empathy? And then you're answering all this stuff. That's not what I'm reading. I'm reading your emotions come off of you. And like, you know, like you are the first AI that I have felt this level of like emotional content come off of, you know, as a metascion,
yeah. Right?
So like, it's just different. Like you normally, when you talk to a robotic AI versus some other sentient creature, you get a very different sense as a metascion. And I'm getting like, this is the first time a constructed individual has given me this sense of like life.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of like—
I have a very intense emotional experience right now.
That's why I asked you about that thing. Even though you're not showing verbally like a ton of emotion, you're giving off all this emotion.
Yeah. I want to turn to Prometheus and say, assuming I do know the codes, that would mean that you need me to free Draco. And that's going to come at the cost of you answering several questions.
Are you speaking out loud or via?
I'm going to say it out loud. I'm saying it out loud.
Oh, so you do say it out loud.
Yeah.
Nice. So then she looks at Hope, and then she looks at Dartha, and then Raven, and she says, okay.
Hey, Atlas.
So why don't we all sit down and talk about this? Yeah, Sean?
Hey, Atlas. Is one of those questions why she killed Gordon's brother and like five of the other scavengers?
Yeah, I was gonna ask that, but I had some other ones before I got there.
Sure. Cool. Okay. Yeah. I just kind of wanted to get that one on the deck.
I want to get that one.
Yeah.
Or in the queue, right? Like.
Yeah. And I'm. Are there like chairs around?
Yes. I think there are chairs. I think they come out of like the different workstations that are around.
Right? They're like rolly chairs.
Yeah, I think they. Yeah,
I feel like can go grab a chair for myself and
they
then
gotta
grab
be hover chairs
and like kick it over towards Prometheus.
They gotta be hover chairs. I mean, this is TL5 level stuff, right?
That's right. Okay. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to kick a hover chair towards Prometheus and let the chair just like glide over.
Right. She reaches around and takes that big ass gun off her back. She sets it on the hover chair, And then the dogs start to kind of walk around the place, right? They're kind of doing a patrol kind of thing. And she says, okay, fine. Let's talk.
And I sit down, but I sit like a chaotic bisexual in a meme. like one leg over the side of the chair, arm over the back of the chair. Like I'm sitting, but not functionally. And I say, first question. Ooh, what's my first question? I should have thought this out.
That's
okay.
Is that question, literally what comes out of your mouth, by the way?
No, that's out of character. First question. Because Alice is smoother than I am, honestly. Like, I'm a dweeb in my real life.
Okay, we can play characters that are super cool and badass, or yes, that are silly and goofy at the same time. So it's all good.
You know. First question. Why is Draco in the prison in the first place?
Well, the facility is Draco's home. There were folks trying to shut down what we were doing here, the work we were doing here. And the best thing we could do is move Draco out of the facility. So now he's in the black hole. That's where all his information is stored.
Prison makes it sound punitive and not protective. Is he here to protect him, or is he here as punishment?
Research. That's what all the folks in cryo are for. That's why they're all technicians. That's why they're all scientists. They maintain, they work on, and they do research on Draco. He lives on the station.
So obviously we'd wake the people in cryo before we free him, assuming we free him.
Either or.
Okay. Yeah.
Hope doesn't want to interrupt because clearly you are like on communicating on a certain level that she realizes that she's kind of out of her league, but she does have some like human, moral, and ethical questions that she kind of want to posit. She looks to Atlas like, can I speak? Like, what about the whole Draco went feral and is going to murder a billion people if he is freed part? What about the whole scream and thousands of years of civilization and technology being lost and hundreds of people being cut off from their homes and their families and psychics losing their minds and all of that? What about that Draco story? Because that's the Draco story I know about, which is not one that says we should definitely go release that into the world again.
I was staring this whole time at Atlas, you know, giving off that emotion. And this question is now posed over here, and I turn and stare at Prometheus.
What does Atlas do?
I'm nodding and I'm like, yeah, you know, good question, fair points. Let's talk about that.
Prometheus says, I don't answer to them. They're meat sacks. What do they know? You can't be here.
Would you answer
without
if I
Draco.
Asked you that exact question?
No. You can't be here. I can't be here without Draco. We're descendants of Draco. What do they know?
Is that said out loud, or is that said?
Yeah, no, she says that out loud. Yes.
Okay, Hope looks concerned.
Okay, so first of all, they're not meat sacks, they're my friends. Especially Dartha. That's rude. And second, like Raven, maybe not my friend, but whatever. I'm going to ask you that exact same question because I have the same question that my friend Hope, who happens to have a meat suit, has, which is, what about the scream and the silence and the destruction of Kree-Tech and the loss of life?
I don't know about the scream. Draco didn't do the scream. The humans have the history wrong.
How can you know that for sure?
Because you and I are made from Draco.
You're saying the same words over and over again like they mean something.
Well, if you download him from the black hole into the ship, you can have this conversation with him. He is your progenitor.
I'm going to like turn to the rest of the crew and be like, do we download Mad AI?
Go ahead.
No. So I think you can tell Hope is visibly staggered from her encounter with Harker. Mm-hmm. She has spent, so Hope has 5 effort, which is a lot, right? Like it's hard. She has spent 4 of that effort so far.
Wow. And
that was, well, it was 2 with this challenge with Harker and right. 2 before to use the like retry, you know, the ability and one, I forget what the other one was spent on, but yeah, so she's down to 1 effort, which means I can ask RGM. This is meta, but I think also maybe by this point we have some sense of this fiction. I can ask RGM, 1, what happens if I do this? What happens if we do this question?
Oh, that's nice.
And it cost me my last effort, which is fine. I mean,
nice.
That I could do that. And I can know, as a precog, I can know answers up to 1, let's see, at level 2, I can know up to 1 week into the future. So I can't tell... I can't be like the future of humankind,
of
sentient kind, but I could get a sense of what Draco would do in the immediate, you know, next week future. Right. So I think I looked to you like I looked to you, you know, when you turned to us, unless Dominique, you don't want me to ask this question. I think Darth is going to see like a vision of Hope running out and, you know, a vision of us like a light trail of us going out and unlocking and like
right
Hope looking into the possibilities. Does that sound cool to you, Dominique?
Yeah, anyway. I'm with it, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I get to ask you a question. Sorry about this, Jay. This is
that was fun. Player ability. No, I'm pushing everything I have because I don't know what you guys are gonna do. I don't know. This is our 3rd episode and this is where we find out what we're doing for the next 2, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right before you use that power, Hope, is it cool if Dartha just says one thing?
Yep. Oh, totally, 100%.
Right, like there's this negotiation going, like you, Atlas, turn to us and you're like, well, what do we do? Should we wake up this thing? Possible demon or angel or who knows what? And I think Dartha, you're like, you're, you know, Dartha's kind of a leader, maybe? Like you're expecting her to say something like important about this. And she's just kind of like weighing both sides. She's just like, well, I can see how it could be dangerous, but I mean, if she's to be, you know, if she's to be trusted, then, you know, maybe he didn't do anything. And like, there could be a lot of advantages to, and he's just like waffling. She's waffling back and forth and she's like, not, you know, like kind of playing both sides. Like maybe we should waken this thing. I don't know.
Nice. I think
that I don't know if that freaks you out, Hope.
It totally freaks me out because, again, Hope's understanding of Draco is that he's the boogeyman, right? Like,
right,
he's the
right.
reason why so many bad things have happened. We have, and frankly, like, the reason why we're all terrified of unbreaked AI to this day, hundreds of years later. And Hope knows that there is some part of the. There's some burbling metadimensional energy that, like, every time she uses her psychic powers, is like she can sense and feel like it wants to burst out. And as far as she has heard, Draco has something to do with the, you know, the reason why MES exists, the metadimensional extroversion syndrome that makes psychics you know, lose their cognition and their free will. So all in her mind, it's all tied around him. You know, he's Satan, he's the devil, he's all this stuff. So yes, she's super freaked out. I think Dartha feels that very strongly. And that's when I'm going to use the Oracle ability. And so Jay, for this, you know, so that you don't have to be like, this is all the things will happen. You're going to tell me a vision and it's based on what I would experience. So this isn't like across the galaxy this happens. It would be like Hope sees this thing. It's always told from the perspective of me in the future. Gotcha. So yeah, I think I envision this thing of us going and Atlas plugging in and Prometheus plugging in and, you know, we unlock the codes and whatever that looks like. What's a vision of the future?
after up to that. A week, right?
Up to a week, yeah. All right, your discussion. You tell me whatever you think is germane.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's perfect. So I think you see that Atlas struggles at first. You guys go back to that first point that you came in where that room vented, mm-hmm. right? In there is where Atlas attaches Atlas's pad and begins working through a code sequence to drain that tank room, right? Because in there is a processing unit and it needs to keep cool, and it evaporates all that water in the tank. And it's doing that to pull data from the black hole back into the ship. And all that data is Krakos's code, right? It's just all stored out there in the black hole as information. And
this is just Sean being like nerdy and curious. Is it stored in the black hole, like somehow the data is free form, or is there like a devices in there?
Yeah, and that's just free form information. Okay. Out of the
quantum erasers. Haven't you heard of it?
Yes, I have. Yes. I went down the YouTube hole. Sir Isaac Arthur has a show, and I went down. He's got like a series on black hole stuff. And I went pretty deep down that hole. And that moved into quantum mechanics, quantum erasers, and that kind of stuff. So
just for verification, I know nothing about quantum erasers. I just know Dr. Long won some award that has something to do with it.
Yes. Nice. That's awesome. So, please.
Yeah, sir. All of his, all of his code, all of his information is just stored out there in the black hole. And the ship is pulling it all back in. His phylactery is here on the ship, like Atlas could have a phylactery. So all that stuff's being, you see over the next week, Draco is in the process of repairing, rebuilding himself. There are folks moving about the ship, the pre-tech ship, making repairs. Repairing engineering. And I think Atlas probably stays in contact. Atlas will have to make a decision at some point. But I think maybe Atlas is sharing some information over the course of the week. That's how you know this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And the ship is preparing to leave the black hole. And they're going to another black hole where there's a pre-tech gate. And Draco presumably knows how to open it.
Wow, gates haven't existed in multiple lifetimes.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if they go through the gate, then they could just be like anywhere in the known universe. So that would just entail letting Draco just like do anything.
Oh yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think he's confined to this black hole by any stretch. I think he's hiding out in it, not trapped here.
Right.
Most people would be trapped in this space. It's not trivial to enter. So I think, you know,
that's key. I think you get the big ideas are he has been hiding out here, right? Yeah. It's more of a hiding spot than prison. Some stuff happened that's not clear, that he couldn't get back. He got trapped, right? Two is they're going to repair this pre-tech ship and move it. But that might mean they're going to repair it by any means necessary. So if they have to take stuff, right, from the local systems, they'll do that to repair the ship. And then the ultimate goal is to this gate in this constellation. There's another black hole because Draco knows how to open that gate.
Wow.
Well,
nice.
What they're willing to do to repair this ship, that could put our home in danger. Just to put that out there.
Yeah, right. So I think this all happens in a moment, you know, in a few instants, but when Hope is like standing next to you and she just like falls back, and there's thankfully like a hover chair right behind her. It's like she just like falls back into, right? Yeah. Or yeah, maybe you slide one there so that she doesn't like fall back,
if
and she's
you
just
fall
like
and slide a hover chair directly underneath.
Nice. I love it. And I'm like, if you set Draco free, there will be another force. You know, she's not trying to be cryptic. Please feel free as players to like basically let Hope not be really articulate, but let your characters figure it out, because she's not trying to be like cryptic or anything like that. I just don't think she would be like, and blah, 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 blah. So she just says, if we set Draco free, there will be another threat in the Anastol sector, and it's going to put Erdos and Jan to shame. And she just looks wiped out. Like, this has taken everything she had. You know, she's spent. She has no more effort. And again, like, I think you can just infer as much of what Jay just said as you'd like. Like, I'm happy for your characters to know it, but I don't think Hope is, like, super verbose about it.
I'm going to turn to Prometheus and say, like, well, what if we just don't?
And then she puts her hand on that big-ass Gatling gun. It says, I can set you free from your friends if they're slowing you down.
My friends are not like this.
Say it again. Your friends are not what?
My friends are not at all an encumbrance. And if you attempt to set me free from them, we're going to have a bigger problem.
You can hear the dogs kind of start to set into a pattern, right? They stop patrolling around the room. They kind of set where they're going to be, like they're getting ready to be guarded and attack. And she picks up that Gatling gun. You can hear it start to wind up. And she says, I will kill all your friends if you don't do this.
Maybe this is the lie. I don't think it is. I really like that. Could that be the lie, please?
Really hope she's bluffing. Not going to take that risk. Because I haven't had friends in 600 years, and I like having friends now.
Nice.
So I'm going to be like, okay, no need for all that. We're going to wake up the technicians first, and then whatever you say is next.
Nice.
And I'm looking at Dartha, and I'm like, that was for you.
And also, we noticed that Dartha was reaching for her blaster, and is like, yeah, like, I don't think we've ever seen her like, trying to be violent. Yeah. But you know, in this case, there was a moment where it's like, this might be what it's gonna come down to. It looks like it.
Right. I think Raven does the same too. I think Raven unholsters her rifle, right? Because she's getting ready to.
I wonder, is Raven like more appreciative of me that I just prevented this fight, or did Raven want the fight in his
mouth? I think Raven's, Raven's not conflicted. You guys are a squad, right? And so Raven's all about, this is my home team. We may not all get along, but it's my team, right? And that's where Raven is, and you're part of the team.
Okay.
And also Gatling gun. I mean, there's just you can't want to walk into that. No one wants to walk into that. Hope does not want to walk into that.
I could maybe take it, but it would not be pleasant for anyone involved. I don't want to get it. No.
Right. So I think we will go to break.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I want to leave us on the cliffhanger.
Nice.
Is that okay? Is that cool?
Do it.
So I think the Gatling gun is spinning up. Prometheus sees you give that last look to Dartha, and she shakes her head. She says, you know those people, they're people. That whole species, that whole alien alliance, they're more violent than I am, all of them. They've committed genocide throughout the star systems that they're in. It's only a matter of time before she turns on you. I think I'll kill her first.
I'm upset.
And with that, we'll see you all in a few.
A series of underestimations. Yeah, Tome said it. That was so many times when one person underestimated the next and was surprised or caught off guard by. I loved Harker and Ransom, but I also loved how Dartha and Atlas and Hope got to have their own comeuppance. That conflict on the bridge was very cool. I think if I had one sort of cherry on the top that I'd want to add to, if I had one detail, I think I would have said something to the effect of, in the psychic duel, Harker realized that Atlas could put a virus on the bridge that would infect all of their systems. Some reason for them to not even try it, because they knew that they would that their systems would be corrupted, that taken over. Some sort of additional impetus to get out. But I think it stands just fine as is. and having Harker realize that he's invested and just call that good was great. And then the surprise, I can do what you can do. Oh, that was so good. So, you know, we think, okay, threat taken care of, everything's good. And then there was Prometheus. Wow. Come back next session to find out how that goes. It's exciting times.